Welcome everyone to Chicken 60 Degrees, where we talk about life's lessons, its pleasures, and its achievements. I am Makita.
I am Monica Johnson today, Miss Johnson.
Oh, whole name today, not Princess Monica.
Nope, Monica Johnson today. Oh my goodness. Whole name, you guys. Google yeah, you, me, baby.
You lucky you have like a name that a lot of people might have, because I would not say my whole name.
Oh yeah, nah, because your dad, he did whatever he wanted to do when he had you, so yeah.
Whatever he wanted to do.
He freestyled.
It's fine. It's grown on me. I used to want my name to be Keisha so bad when I was younger, but I don't know why. That just was like the ultimate black girl name to me. Keisha or Nicole.
I think Makita's pretty high up there on the ultimate black girl name.
The ultimate cool black girl name to me was Keisha. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, how was your week?
My week was good. I didn't really do anything at all. I literally did nothing. I just worked. I had to do some vending machine stuff this week. That's it. I took off Thursday and Friday. You know, I struggle with using my PTO. So I actually used my PTO this week. Go, Monica.
I'm proud of you.
I know, right? I took off Thursday and Friday. I don't know why I struggle, but I just feel so guilty. Like, oh, even though I got like 1,600 hours to use, I just hoard them. Mm-mm. But yeah, I didn't do anything. Laid in bed. That's about it. It's been real rainy in Baltimore. So yeah, what did you do?
You know what I did this week that was new and different and something that I'll never do again? I took a bar class, Pure Bar. And it's
like a pole. Dancing with a pole?
No. Like, not yes, but no. Like, it was a horizontal.
It's like Pilates.
Pole. Yeah.
Like Pilates.
Yeah. And it's like low impact, like short, quick movements, but you like do it so much that that shit hurts. Like,
I did that.
I'm never doing it again. But it was cool—a cool experience to have.
I seen you went out with your little friends to that little event, and where Mary J. Blige was, and y'all was matching and shit. I see that.
Oh yeah, we did match, and we weren't at the one that Mary J. Blige was at. We were at the one with 7th Streeter, but it was a lot of fun. I hope that it comes back. The Strength of a Woman Festival was out here in Atlanta. Yeah,
I wasn't invited, but it's fine because I could have came.
You don't live in Atlanta, and there was somebody there. I'm not going to say who it was, who Monica basically wanted me to harass. So it's a good thing that you were not there.
I just asked you to touch the hem of that garment for me so we can be blessed. But anyway, you ain't do that. So let's roll on with the show then.
No. So today we actually have a very special guest, Dr. Alicia Newsome. Hi, how are you today?
Hello. Hi, I'm good. I'm Dr. Alicia Newsome. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
No problem. And I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name. I am a victim of that all the time. So I apologize.
It's quite all right.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a functional medicine practitioner. Basically, I specialize in working with women with hormonal imbalances. So whether that's fibroids, PCOS, adult acne, trouble losing weight. Sometimes women have already had hysterectomies due to fibroids and things like that, and they come to me afterwards. Just really helping to resolve hormonal issues so that you can have more energy, more productivity, achieve balance, and just really feel good overall.
Wow. And how did you get into that? Because that's like a very like specified niche subject. So I'm just interested, like what drew you to this?
Really my own hormonal imbalances that I've had in the past. I've really struggled with when I was younger, well, not even when I was younger, older, but like depression just in general, but then depression before my periods when I was older got really bad. Just a week or two before, I'd get seriously depressed, painful, heavy periods, diagnosis of PCOS and things like that. And really just trying to figure things out for myself.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this is very near and dear to my heart. So last year, I went to the gynecologist, you know, for my annual. And, you know, when they do the pelvic exam, how they feel around your pelvis. And the doctor's like, you're measuring about 14 weeks. And I was like, well, am I pregnant? And she's like, I think it might be a fibroid. And so I'm like, I never thought that, you know, I had fibroids or anything like that. So I'm like freaking out, especially because she's saying my uterus is measuring 14 weeks. And I'm like, well, what the hell is going on? And so She's just like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, you know, just keep monitoring it and you can come back. And I'm like, no, like I had to like keep calling them in order to get an ultrasound, only to find out that she like misdiagnosed me. My uterus was the size that it was supposed to be. And I did have fibroids, but they were like very small and obviously wasn't impacting the size of my uterus, but it just wasn't taken seriously at all. And there was no like course of action that was given to me to like kind of rectify this issue. And I feel like that's the story that a lot of women have, like with, you know, medicine, they have to advocate and really, really fight for themselves in order to be seen. And then from there, they're not really given like the tools to actually like care for themselves.
Yeah, it's really the most heartbreaking story. And I feel like I hear it over and over, like every week, every day working with women, and it blows my mind every single time that I hear it, you know? And a lot of times women are not given the tools, like you said, to know what to do. Like, now you've given me this quote unquote diagnosis, but now what, you know? And it's really a lot of times from the conventional medicine standpoint, a watch and wait, you know, and then eventually maybe you'll be given birth control, or they may give you the Mirena or something, you know, they'll do maybe something like that. But eventually it ends up with getting a myomectomy and having the fibroids removed. And then for most people, they come back and then they may get them removed again, or eventually ends up with a hysterectomy. And it's because, and even with that, even if once you remove a woman's womb, you remove her uterus, it's the underlying reason of why it was there still not being dealt with.
Yeah. And so can we take like just a step back and just go back to the whole fibroids talk, like mm-hmm. to people who don't know what fibroids is and the why it's such a big issue and, you know, things that it causes and what it just, you know, all the cause and effects of it. Can you kind of touch on that?
Yeah. So fibroids are basically growths, and they're fibrous connective tissues, and they can develop in the uterus. And really a lot of times they develop because there is an increase of estrogen in the body. So the body's not detoxing estrogen. So that's a lot of the times the core issue there. Also, we have found more with like anecdotal data and things like that, parasites. A lot of the women that I work with have parasites, and it's just a correlation, not a causation, not saying that it causes, but we find that a lot. And what that does is when you have parasites, that also dampens your immune system and your ability to fight, and then also detoxification pathways as well. So, but that takes you right back to the estrogen issue. So a lot of times women are not detoxing estrogen from the body. So normally you should metabolize estrogen and be able to get rid of the excess estrogen in your body through one of three ways. Through your gut. Well, the way it can be reabsorbed is in your gut. You could have issues going on with your gut. There's specific markers that I personally look at with all my clients to see if that's what's happening. And basically, instead of excreting the estrogen when you go to the bathroom, you're reabsorbing it. The other way is in the liver. It's not being metabolized properly. And then, or you just have a high toxin load in general. So the body's just overburdened. But that's what I really find a lot of times with fibroids. And then also doing things like yoni steams, that really helps with balancing hormones, but then also just kind of giving a direct access to that area and really giving the body what it needs there to be able to resolve these issues.
So for me, my fibroids, I feel like, and even though that's my, I'm assuming like this is the issue. Like I had like severe cramping with my menstrual cycles, yeah, and they're super heavy. What mm-hmm. are some other things that people might like have as a result of them having fibroids, like other symptoms, I should say?
Well, a lot of times it is the heavy bleeding that's really heavy. A lot of my clients, when they come to me, they're bleeding through tampons and pads hourly. So really, really heavy. Sometimes they last longer than just like 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 9 day long periods.
Wow.
And then also the cramping, that those are some of the major symptoms and issues there.
And I feel like it's so crazy because like growing up, I feel like you're just taught like your period is this terrible thing. Like it's supposed to hurt bad. It's supposed to be heavy on these particular days, but nobody like has the conversation like, no, there's a remedy. Like we can fix this.
See, I don't think we were ever taught, though. That's the thing. Like, I don't think we were actually taught on vagina care. So, or maybe not. I wasn't. I don't know about y'all, but
I wasn't.
Like, at all? Like, what were you told, like, about, like, your vagina and your period and all that stuff?
I remember vaguely my mom telling me that I would have a period. I remember having some type of conversation around that. So when my period did come, I knew, okay, I've started my period now. I wasn't allowed to use tampons. So I had to use pads. Yeah, I had to wait till I was a little older. And that was about it. I don't really have too many memories about that, but I know I wasn't taught a whole lot about vaginal care and things like that.
See, isn't that even a myth of, like, not being able to use tampons, like, as a child? I feel like when I was growing up, it was kind of like you couldn't use tampons if you didn't have sex.
Yeah.
Like, anybody. So it's like, oh, like, if you use tampons, like, oh, you must not be a virgin or something like that. Like, that's how it was when I started my period. But now it's just like, that's not even true. like you could definitely use tampons, but I guess we didn't know. Like, yeah.
That's crazy. So I didn't even tell my mom when I first started my period, but that's a whole other.
Oh, wow.
That's a whole other conversation. Yeah, I managed it, or I thought I was managing it for myself, like, a couple of years. But she was very, like, to my mom's credit, she was an oversharer and very much so telling me, like, you know, what to look out for. And I know that she taught me to wipe from front to back. That much I do know. And that's about it. Like, I don't think we talked about, like, whether or not to use soap down there or, like, all of that type of stuff that I feel like is extra important as you, like, grow older and have to deal with, like, vaginal care and stuff like that. So are you supposed to use soap on your vagina?
If you do, you definitely just want to use mild. Really, a lot of times, like, water is enough, you know, mm-hmm. and just being able to wash and rinse is more than enough, because your vagina is self-cleaning. So the fluids and everything that comes from us, that's cleaning out our vagina. And you definitely shouldn't put anything in there to clean.
And I think that's something, like, I've never done it, but I know a lot of people do douching, but I hear that leads to, like, some of the infections and stuff that we see from vaginas that actually lead to, like, what you're trying to prevent with cleaning, like that smell and those infections. And that's where it gets a little hairy for me, is like.
Yeah, douching is very tempting. But what it does is it can also wash out all the good bacteria too. And then you throw off your pH, and then now you've got bacterial vaginosis. So you've got the smell, and it kind of creates a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if you guys have been, like, hearing in the news lately, but I know the Honey Pot. There's been, like, a lot of, I guess, like, back and forth talking about them. Just, you know, Twitter is relentless sometimes. I know that when they first came out, they was a plant-based, you know, wash. And now that they switched their company, they switched their ingredients. And it's like they silently switched their ingredients. They didn't tell anybody until one day, you know, until recently, somebody compared the ingredients from the old bottle versus the new. And they found, like, now, I guess they're not putting chemicals in it or parabens or something like that. But the ingredients are so much more than what they usually were. So I feel like a lot of people have been feeling just a certain type of way of, like, you know, we thought this was, you know, we were using this safely on our vagina to cleanse it. And now here we are with ingredients that we don't really know what we're putting inside of us or putting on our bodies. But I guess, like, I don't know if you guys had a chance to check out that whole, have you guys heard that?
I literally just had a conversation with my friend about this yesterday, how Honey Pot was Black owned. It's no longer Black owned because it was sold off. And then, like, on the label, it did used to say certified organic. And now you see that's no longer on the label. So, yeah, that's a little disheartening and scary, because I definitely am a Honey Pot user.
I think so, too. And I mean, it's like, you know, I guess business is business. But I do think also I'm a Honey Pot user, too. And I always felt like that was the safest thing to wash down there, because I know people say, you know, just water works, which it does. But I also was like, oh, I'm a fan of, like, sun. And I feel like a lot of my habits start, you know, when you, like, you see your mom doing certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom was a big doucher. Like, she used douches all the time. Like, I'd get in the shower and you would just see that little stick thing just sticking up with the water bottle on the bottom.
Like, what does it look like? I don't think I've ever seen.
It's like a water. I feel like it's like a little sponge water bottle, and it got like a little stick to it, and just it would always be in the shower. And my mom was a big fan of like Summer Eve products too, so I feel like I just grew like that and just always use Summer Eve products. And then when I seen Honey Pot, I'm like, oh my god. So now I'm like, dang, why you had to switch up on us, Honey Pot? I don't want to be putting, you know, chemicals down there now, because pH is a real thing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that pH balance ain't nothing to play with. When that thing is off, you gonna know it's off.
Like, yeah.
You don't know. And I tell people this all the time. I'm like, I would rather have mouth pain than to have like vagina irritation. Like, I would rather my mouth be irritated versus my vagina, because the vagina irritation is just like, it's out of this world. Like, it's nothing I've ever been like, I just can't even. So yeah, so learning how to take care of what to put down there, just water, it's so important. It's so, so important.
It is.
Or a mild cleanser. I mean, just something mild, I use my loofah and I use something natural. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head, but I just wash and then just wash down there a little bit, but there's no need to really go in real deep. Or, you know, if there is some type of smell going on or there's excess discharge, then there's something on the inside that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Inside of your body.
Yeah. I learned that like the hard way, because I used to go in like washcloth, Dove soap. And then I found out I had BV, and I was like, I wasn't even like out doing anything, like, you know. And I was like, well, they're like, it's so many ways that it could happen, like a wet bathing suit. That's also something that scares me. Whenever I go to the beach and I like get in the water, I'm like, I gotta take this off immediately, because like I can't.
I have a habit of doing that too.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, my habit is from when I work out, taking forever to take those workout clothes on. And you know, you just sit in that sweat. That's my habit. I'm like, oh my god.
The vagina is tricky. Like.
But I have found that even for myself, that once I really resolve the internal issues, things going on with my gut and pH balance and all of those things, I recognized it a couple years ago when I did leave a bathing suit on longer. And I was like, I wasn't able to take it off for whatever reason. And I was like, oh, I don't have any issues. There's nothing going here. You know,
so what are some ways that you like were able to like, I guess, fix your insides to make, you know, having a vagina more comfortable? Because it is I love my vagina very much, but it is like, you really have to like take care of it. Like, it's a thing.
One thing that was really important for me was my diet and addressing candida. Because you can have candida in the gut, and you have to do something to get rid of that, you know. And a lot for me, I would just keep going to the store and getting the Monistat and things like that. Mm-hmm. And every other month I'm doing this, but it was really my diet and cleaning up my gut, which was the biggest things that helped resolve those issues. And then also me just understanding what fluid should be coming out when, because I just had no understanding of that when I was younger, that there are times when I should have cervical mucus coming out of my body and it changes. And sometimes it is kind of crumbly or sticky, and that I should leave alone. Like, that is completely mm-hmm. normal. And so for me, I was always in this constant running to the OBGYN, and then they just give me something, you know. It's like, they're here you go. Like, or they'd look and say, oh, I see there's a little yeast in there. Here's a prescription. And, you know, or if it was BV, I feel like they were just always passing out these medications to me that were creating more issues. So part of that was just stopping that in general.
Yeah. And that's another thing I don't think that we're told, like the different ways that your like cervical mucus changes throughout your cycle. Like, I found out via Google. Like, this was not taught in school during health class, or my mother and I did not have this conversation. Like, it's so many things that we're just not privy to unless we like have an issue and decide to seek it out. And that's very problematic, especially when so many people have opinions on what women should do with their bodies, and they're not properly educating themselves or women on how to take care of said bodies.
Very true. Everybody has an opinion about how women should be using their bodies, mm-hmm. or what they should do with their bodies.
Don't get me started. I know Monica's going to get started on that. But back to what you were saying, like, so diet wise, what did you see worked for you or works as far as like balancing those hormones and keeping your gut in check?
So yeast is a fungus and it loves sugar. So that's really, really important to be mindful about the amount of sugar that you're eating. And in general, sugar creates inflammation in the body. So for me, even though I work with women with hormone issues and imbalances and things like that, I really hit hard on heart disease and cancer and things like that. And that's just because for me, that's the way a lot of times we die. You know, like people of color, heart disease is like the thing that's killing us. Diabetes, all of these are chronic health issues, but sugar is a big part of that as well. So it creates inflammation in the body, but then also it's just what yeast feeds off from. So just being mindful, I'm a big advocate of not like a keto or low carb diet, but just being very mindful about your sugar intake. So that's important. What was the question again?
So that answers the question. That was okay. Like, so gut for, as far as gut health, like sugar, like limiting your sugar and, that's tough. That's a tough one. What about alcohol? I think alcohol metabolizes into sugar, right? Is that how that works?
Alcohol metabolizes into sugar, and alcohol also causes dysbiosis of the gut, which is just imbalance of the good bacteria and bad bacteria as well. So that's another issue as well. And a lot of times people just need to take a period of time and really heal and seal their gut. And then you can add alcohol back in moderation.
What's a good period of time to like not drink alcohol to like heal your gut, I guess?
That's a hard one.
I mean, if it's a tough answer, it's a tough answer, you know, but.
Yeah, that's tough because I mean, I drink and I have, you know, but should I, you know, for like optimum health? Probably not. You know, I don't think that there's actually ever a good time to put it into our diets.
Wow. Not even wine?
You know, wine always gets the good rap of, you know, it has the different polyphenols or just different things in it that's healthy for people. But no, not wine either. If anything, definitely red wine over white wine. White wine is just sugar.
Yeah. See, I know I'm on to something. Yeah. Okay. And so when we talk about like hormones, that I know that's like super complex. So, and you even talked about PCOS. So that before we get into hormones, can we talk about PCOS? Because I know that's something that also impacts a lot of young women.
Yeah. So PCOS is really, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. And basically it's where your body's trying to ovulate. You have these different follicles that come up each month before ovulation. And then like one should come up and then there's your egg and you ovulate. But with polycystic ovarian syndrome, that's not happening. The ovulation doesn't happen at all, but it's not an ovarian issue. It's really a metabolic syndrome and it goes back to blood sugar as well. So a lot of the women that have PCOS have, they're insulin resistant, and that is a lot of where their issues are. So when we resolve those issues, deal with their insulin sensitivity, blood sugar issues, as well as any other hormonal imbalances, those issues resolve as well. So sugar is just not good.
Damn. Okay. But like sugar from like naturally occurring sugar in fruit is okay. But should that also be limited?
There are some fruits that are better than others. So berries, those are low glycemic, meaning that they're not going to spike your insulin levels as much. So berries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, things like that are really good. Some of the fruits that have more sugar in them and more fructose are not as good for someone that is struggling with the insulin resistance problem. So sometimes even like people are, you know, why can't I have oranges or grapes and things like that? That's healthy. It came from the earth. It is good, but not for someone that has a blood sugar regulation problem. Because for now, we want to get that under control, remove those things that are going to spike insulin. And then after that's regulated, bring those back in. But berries are always, those are a good choice.
Okay. Okay. So when we talk about like balancing hormones overall to fix some of the issues like PCOS and fibroids, like where is a good place to start? Like after you get your diagnosis, and it's probably different for fibroids and PCOS, I'm assuming, but like where do you start with your clients when we get there?
So usually people come to me with a diagnosis, and it's not even a diagnosis that's looked at the full picture. So oftentimes with blood work, they're just looking at hormones in the blood. I look at them in the urine and also the saliva. It just gives us a lot more information about how you're metabolizing your hormones and also what's freely circulating in the body. So I would say start there. Dutch by Precision Analytical. That's the company that I use to do Dutch testing. You can buy that retail as well and get that tested. And then you have to have a provider interpret the results for you and things like that. So I always recommend that. And also looking at what's going on with your gut as far as having a stool sample done. So looking at, is there any inflammation in the gut? Are there pathogens present? Are you absorbing your food? Are you digesting your food? And then also toxins. There's a variety of toxin testing that I do, but mycotoxins is one of them. And that's looking at mold. Mold produces its own toxicities in the body and things like that. So that gives a lot of good information on then how I can move forward and specifically customize and address the issues going on, like the underlying causes of why you may be reabsorbing estrogen or having these hormonal imbalances. Do you want to know what I do from there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So from there, a lot of people, when you look at digestion, because detoxification is a big issue with a lot of these women, oftentimes they're not pooping regularly. And when I say regularly, I mean 2 to 3 times a day. Yes. Yes, because everything that you're bringing into your body, whether it's through your skin, whether you're breathing it in, whether you're eating it, you've got to be able to get the toxins out. And through your colon is one of the main areas that happens. And when you think about it, even if you're eating 3 times a day, like you should be pooping 3 times a day.
I heard that before.
Yeah, it's really important. So what I do is I first get people pooping regularly and get things moving. It doesn't take long. Even my dad, when I started doing this work, since I was little, he was taking Metamucil and all types of things and could not go to the bathroom on his own. And he now goes 2 to 3 times a day. And it's the greatest thing for him because it's 20, 30 years that he hasn't been able to go regularly, you know? And to be able to go with ease. But that's a big thing because that's a big part of your detoxification pathways. And a lot of times there's all these detoxes and things online.
I was going to ask you about some of like the more holistic products too that are sold online, like, and your thoughts on that. So,
well, there's a lot of things out there. So I know it can sometimes get confusing or overwhelming and not know where to start, but with anything, have you ever heard about sometimes people do detoxes and they get really sick or they're really tired? That's because you're doing some type of detox and it's working, but now it's just flooding your system, flooding your blood with those toxins. And that's why the pooping, getting people pooping first is really important, because now your body's able to move those things out. So that's the important part. So that's why I start there. And I also make sure that you're digesting your food, because even if you're taking supplements or herbs, eating organic, doing these things, and you're not digesting your food, then it's kind of useless as well. So that starts with your stomach, making sure that you have enough, if your stomach's acidic enough. So are you able to break down your food? So I look at all of that. And then really just move on from what's going on with them, whether they have mold, do they have parasites? Is there some type of low grade infection going on? Sometimes there's some infections that people can have and it creates biofilms and kind of hides from the immune system. So just looking and addressing whatever specifically is going on with her is what I do. And really just get her to a place of feeling good and where she's not dealing with fibroids anymore. She's not dealing with PCOS. She's able to ovulate. A lot of the women that come to me have infertility issues. So they want a baby, you know? So just addressing everything one at a time in a very systematic way to detox their bodies and balance their hormones and optimize their nutrients.
It's so crazy how like just the whole body works. Like I always tell people, like when I sometimes think about like, just
different things that are invented or whatever. I don't know who God made, whatever. I'm like, isn't it crazy that our body like can poop? Like, I know people don't like, I feel like, it's so crazy that like our body like takes food, we input it and just gets it out. Like, it just amazes me sometimes, like how the body works, you know, and just the body is a sensitive thing. It's like literally when they say like you are what you eat, I feel like that. Mm-hmm. Like, always like, you know, it's like if I eat a donut, I literally feel like I'm walking around with a donut on my hip, like all day. Like, I feel like everybody can see this donut I ate. Like, it's just important. Like, our body really is our temple and just like everything on us. And especially mm-hmm. being a woman, it's like our body is just so sensitive to everything. Like, I'm a big fan of like, well, I mean, I guess not a big fan, but I'm a birth control user, right? Like, I am the person that will admit, like, I don't know how not to get pregnant. So birth control is like my thing, you know, like, and I've recently had to like up my dosage of birth control because I was having like breakthrough bleeding and all this crazy stuff. So I like, what are your thoughts on like birth control? Because I know like it definitely affects like PCO. I think, what are we calling it? PCOS or PCOS?
Either one is fine.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I know like some women who take it, that's when they start experiencing all those issues. What are you thinking, I guess, in terms of just like the hormonal science behind it?
I can already see her face with her answer.
Now, y'all didn't tell me you would bring me on this show to be the messenger of bad news, okay?
And, oh, man, especially for me. I love a good little birth control.
You said like it's a purse. Oh, God.
You know me.
Birth control is good at preventing pregnancy, but it basically puts your body, it like turns off, well, it depends on which one you're using, but in general, it's like turning off your ovaries, it's putting you into menopause. And then really it's prescribed with the thought like, oh, you don't want to have children now. Okay, let's put you on birth control. And then when you come off, you have a host of issues because it's thrown off your hormones. And it doesn't happen to everybody, but it happens to a lot of women.
Doesn't it, like, the amount of time and like, or the length of time that you take it, does that impact like how it might impact you once you stop taking it, I guess? Yeah.
I definitely believe that the longer you take it, the more issues you will have when you come off. There's women that I work with that they've been on it for 20 years, you know, and then they come off and their hair is falling out and they're not able to get pregnant. You know, they have a lot of issues going on. I think it also goes back to the toxic burden that's in your body too. Like, how toxic, what other issues do you have going on as well too?
Dang, I know, that's scary. Cause you know, I've been on birth control for a while and that's just like, if there was a way that like, maybe there is a way you can not get pregnant and like there not is. Have to pull out, but not have to pull out either.
Asking for a lot?
She is asking for a lot. But
it's like, no balance.
There's the fertility awareness method. Have you guys heard of that?
Where you like track your cycle and all of that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really effective when used properly. And really, I think it's great for all women to do just to understand what's going on with your body every month too. It's nice to know when you are ovulating and when your cycle is coming up because you can plan your life around it. And I don't mean as far as I'm going to start my period either tonight or tomorrow, but I don't have any cramps or, you know, exhaustion or anything like I used to have with PMS coming up. I just mean that when we ovulate, we are naturally more creative and, you know, more innovative and things like that. So just knowing that and knowing that, okay, I can, you know, plan on my social media right now, you know, for the month, or start a new project, or it's a good time to have brainstorming meetings around that time. That part I think is really empowering for women. But fertility awareness method, it does take some time. I would not advise anyone just jump into it, but you can plan and you can figure out how long your luteal phase is. Your luteal phase is the second half of your cycle after you ovulate. And for most women, it's 10 to 14 days. That usually does not change. And it's the part before. So ovulation can be delayed because of stress or sickness or something like that. So that's how come cycles can sometimes be 28 days or 30 days or 32 days. It has to do with that first half and what was going on in your life. But that luteal phase normally stays the same. So it's very easy to predict when your period will come. And then also in the fertility awareness method, once you figure that out, you're able to figure out the window every month in which you could get pregnant. And those are the times that you want to pull out. So there is.
I don't think that's for you, Monica.
I'm gonna mess around and be pregnant the first month I try.
Yeah. They got this stuff called I want to say it's called it's not with the F or pH freezy or something like that, where you inject it into your vagina and it kills sperm on contact or something like that. And it's non-hormonal. So maybe you could look into that. I don't know.
I wouldn't trust it. There's out there.
Yeah.
And I always get weary of those. What's that about to do to my pH?
That's true.
And it's crazy that they have so much. This is my rant of the Roe versus Wade, but it's crazy they have so much stuff like the spermicide, and then now with the Supreme Court threatening to take abortion away or making abortion illegal, and I think Plan B pills in some places have been banned. It's I don't know. What do you think is the fascination with people wanting to have control over a woman's body, or what the impact taking away Roe versus Wade will have on just women and the reproduction health system, all of that?
I don't know what the fascination is with it. I don't know. I feel like we live in a crazy world in crazy times.
Uh-huh.
I think things would be a lot better if everybody just mind their own business, just in general, and let people be, as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, with what I'm doing. But I guess that's where the whole, all the debates on from every, all the different topics come in, because everybody thinks you're hurting somebody else, or then somehow I have a right to come into your life and tell you what to do because this does affect me, directly or indirectly. So I don't know.
It's tricky. It's hard. Yeah. Okay, you take away all this, so y'all gonna give us paid maternity leave for longer time? Are you giving us more benefits to have all this? And then I know, slowly but surely, I don't know if you guys heard, how male birth control has kind of been, becoming a thing, or maybe being tested or something. I don't know if it's actually a true thing that male birth control is happening, but.
Let me look up and see if I can find any clinical trials on that.
I was like, I wouldn't be against male birth control. I feel like. they would, because obviously it would be policing their body, but I just think it's interesting. I feel like it's an interesting time that we live in. It's we're one step towards advance, and then we just go right back 17 steps backwards. So,
they really put a lot on the woman in general with the whole situation. And a woman absolutely cannot get pregnant without a man ejaculating inside of her. We can get pregnant and we don't orgasm, that can definitely happen.
Now you
know what
I mean?
No matter what, you need a man to ejaculate, he's going to have an orgasm. Ultimately he has a lot of control in saying whether or not that happens or not in the first place, but then all the birth controls have always been focused on us and us preventing pregnancy and it, all that responsibility being put on us, and really no care on what that does to our health, what that does to our hormones, how that affects us at all, and the long-term effects of that.
And I wonder, not to be on some dystopian Handmaid's Tale, but I wonder if birth control is next, if they're going to start actually acting like they care about women's bodies and taking a look at birth control and trying to flip that industry on its head. So Monica, you might want to, beware of that.
Lord, we might as well just get ready for Monica's magic school bus, if that's the case. we'll have a whole litter of me. So that's where we're going. Man.
There's some male birth control trials out here. I just looked it up on clinicaltrials.gov. So you can always go there and you can type in to find clinical trials. But there's 36 studies are either completed, active, and not recruiting, or actively recruiting right now.
So it might be a thing. I wouldn't trust men to do what it takes to get that, make sure that birth control is straight. I'm not trusting it. I'm sorry.
Talking about us taking the pill every day.
Yeah. They're not about to do that.
No, I know that. Are you familiar with like different type of, there's like pills that people, I think one of the pills is called My Happy Flow, and it's like a daily vitamin, like I guess you can take for, I guess, to help with make your periods better. Do you recommend any of those type of supplements?
So for me, I'm a big advocate of finding out exactly what's going on with your hormones specifically and customizing something for that. There's a lot of things out there and they can help with symptoms and they can, you know, they may or may not work for people, but even when it comes to symptoms, if you're not dealing with the root cause of why hormones are imbalanced in the first place, then you're just masking it, you know? So they sometimes have a place, but I honestly am a big advocate of just finding out exactly what's going on with your body and then addressing it from the root.
And not one size fits all it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So thinking about that, like, is there a way? Okay. So just going back, there's this like natural product that I'm familiar with that's supposed to help women, like, you know, relieve themselves of fibroids, PCOS, all those types of things. Because, and it's these male doctors that put it together and I keep saying like how a woman's period should be. And I believe that they are knowledgeable, but I'm just like, I take issue with a man trying to tell me what a woman's period should be. But like, is there a like perfect period, I guess, that we all should have, or will it still like vary depending on the woman?
It does vary depending on what the woman is. But like a normal healthy cycle should be between 25 and 35 days. Anything longer than that is a bit too long, and anything shorter than that, then you may not be ovulating or you may not have a long enough luteal phase. Luteal phase, again, is really important for being able to maintain a pregnancy as well. So that's when your progesterone levels are going up, your uterine lining is thickening to be able to hold on to the egg. So there is an ideal range, but I agree with you. You know, I'm always, when there's male gynecologists, bless their heart, but I'm just like, what made you want to do this?
Uh-huh.
You know, but there is an ideal range. But, you know, some even believe that like that 35 day cycle range is still normal. And that's where mine used to always be, was around, they'd come every 33, 34, 35 days. And it was still normal, I guess, but mine now come every 28 days, like clockwork. So I think it is possible to make things even better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
28 is just like the normal average, but when you are looking at it and cycling with the moon, have you guys heard about moon cycling? You know, like, so I cycle with the full moon every month, and they say that's more reflective of people that are like introverted and reflective of things and heal the world.
Wow.
But I love looking at things like that. And I think that it is possible to optimize your cycles.
And like, when we talk about like the bleeding period of the cycle, like, they also spoke about, like, I can't remember what the measurement was, but a woman should only bleed this amount every month. And I'm like, where did y'all get this number from? And like, who's measuring like how much they bleed a month also? But like, when we get into things like that, like, is there like optimal amount in ounces or cups, whatever, that women should bleed? Or it is what it is. Like, we know, like, if a flow is heavier or not, and obviously heavier is indicators of like some of those hormonal issues.
You know, to be honest with you, I know that there is like a medical number for the amount of ounces.
That's crazy
that
to me.
We should bleed each month, but I don't keep track of it that way. I don't know how to, you know. I just know that when women come to me and they are filling up tampons or pads hourly, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we want to decrease that, you know, even to, you know, every 2 hours is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And then really just, you know, I don't want them to feel awful. You know, like, how are you feeling? Like, symptoms are like the check engine light going off in your car. You know, like, it's a warning sign that there's something going on. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that did. And I want to go back to something that you talked about earlier about like your cycle, knowing when you ovulate and what phase you're in, how that could be helpful in like optimizing your life and knowing when you could be more creative and things like that. you were talking about like hysterectomies and how a lot of women get hysterectomies. And I know when women get to a certain age, they think like, what the hell? Like, I'm not trying to have any more children at this time. And, you know, I'm in menopause or whatever. Like, why would I need my uterus? But I'm of the belief that the uterus is like, does hold like a lot of like creative power and creative energy there. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that, especially like when we talk about the woman's body, like as a whole.
No, I agree with you. I feel like our wombs are powerful gifts that God gave us, you know. They don't just bring forth life as in children, but bringing forth life as in our creative processes and giving birth to the visions that we have for our lives and things like that. And women that do have their uterus removed, you're right. A lot of times it is like, either they're told they need to, you know, they're in so much pain, they're having fibroids and different issues going on like that. Or sometimes I feel like they just take it, you know, like just what, why did they remove your, oh, you know, and then sometimes just, you know, you don't know. And we're raised in a way to just trust our doctors, you know, like they know best, you know, but they're also very much there. The education is funded by pharmaceutical companies that, you know, if I can get you on a pill for the rest of your life, that is a great, that's residual income. You know, that's a great business model. So let me not go down that. Let me stay with your question here. But the thing is, though, even if you've had your uterus removed, you're still, you still have your ovaries a lot of times. Some people do have the full hysterectomy, but a lot of times they do leave the ovaries and you're still, all the same hormones are still moving through the body. So that's why a lot of times removing the uterus doesn't resolve the issues of the hormone imbalance. Now you just don't have the bleeding associated with it or the fibroids or whatever is going on, but the hormone imbalance is still there. So I do cycle mapping and we can look at exactly what's going on with progesterone and estrogen and things throughout the month, even when they don't have a uterus, and see like when they would have been ovulating and, you know, what's going on there. But you were asking about creative processes. What was the, or did I answer your question?
You answered my question. Okay. You answered my question. Yeah. Monica, did you have any more questions?
I mean, I guess things is just going back to the whole, like starting a period as like a child. I think I was like 12 when I started my period, I think. And I was like, I was terrified. Like my mom, she told everybody and I'm like, what, like, why would you tell everybody's coming girl to the house. Oh, I heard you start to feel. Oh, and I'm just like, I will never tell you anything ever again. And I feel like for me, that was a very traumatic event. And I know like there are a lot of, you know, traumatic events that women can go through with their vagina. And that may range from pregnancy to like rape, even, you know what I mean, like certain things like sexual assault type of event. Like, how have you had clients who have had to deal with like certain type of traumatic events, you know, being a vagina owner?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, when you talk about statistics when it comes to rape and sexual assault or any type of sexual abuse, when you start thinking about these numbers, you know, when it's like 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 women, it's a lot of us, you know, that these things have happened to. So definitely in that, you know, we harbor trauma in our bodies a lot of times, you know. So a lot of my work with women does have a lot to do with releasing things emotionally as well, you know, and learning even what's going on with our emotions, to be able to acknowledge our needs, set boundaries, a lot of that internal work as well. But definitely I see that a whole lot. And I would say that probably one in three women that I see throughout the week, I mean, break down and cry during our call, you know? Mm. And I think it's important for us to, as women, to have safe spaces for us to be able to be vulnerable and talk about the things that have happened in our life, or just even our struggles with health and what's going on and how that's impacting our lives.
Yeah. And I think, I feel like the work you do is so important because it's like you're healing from the inside out. You know what I mean? It's like when you heal the inside, everything on the outside is gonna kind of shine through and see. And I feel like that's very important because, you know, a lot of us don't know. I mean, we've had vaginas for a long time, but it's like we wing it, you know? Like we really just be out here winging it. And it's like, you know, you'll meet men who are just like, oh, you're supposed to use this wash. And it's like, move out the way. You don't know, like, you know, you don't know what it's like to even do this. So I feel like the work you do is very, very important. And it's great to have someone who has that voice and that knowledge to kind of be an advocate for women's their vaginas. because you know, we need it. And I think for me, like, I have moments where, like, I wake up and I'm just like, you know what? I would have liked to be a boy. Like, I would, like, nobody feels like they would have liked to be a boy. Nobody ever, like, not just to experience it, maybe. Just, like, to experience what it's like to be, like, a man, because I feel like they really just
get up and go.
Have it easy. Yeah. Get up and go, like, every day. They just shake and go, and it's just like, oh, my God. Like, I be envious sometimes of it. I'm just like, I would love to just pee standing up one day. Like, I would love to just be able just to pee, like, anywhere, you know, like, it's a little bit of penis envy for me, so.
Yeah, I definitely have penis envy, just because, like, when I think about, like, planning, I don't like going out of town if I know I'm going to be on my cycle, like, I just don't, I want to be home, and yeah. I feel like men don't got to think about that, like, I always gotta look at my calendar, that. Like, no, that's
we got to stop week. That, we got to stop being that, like, embarrassed, I don't even know if it's embarrassed, but I just feel like we have to stop that mindset, feeling like, when we're on our period, we just can't do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. and I know when women have it where it's like they're having painful periods, I completely get it, but I don't know. It's like the way we look at the womb as being, like, you know, this thing of creation, the womb of creation. I feel like we should kind of think of periods the same. It's like, I don't know what the significance can be. I guess, you know, you made it another month without being pregnant, but
a time to release, a time to let go. Like, you can be really intentional with your cycles, you know, as they come, and what you are creating, and or what you are releasing, or what you are healing from.
Now, that's deep.
And I feel like that's how it could get real deep. Having a vagina, like, and then just randomly, have y'all ever seen the Vagina Monologues? Has anybody
the play? No, cool I actually yeah, have never seen it.
I've never seen it. No, it's so good. You guys should go see it if it's ever in, like, your city when they're playing it. It's actually really good. It's like a monologue just from different women who just talk about their vagina, and, you know, they're talking like it's their vagina and stuff, but it's a really good play. I've seen it when I was younger. Of course, I didn't know what do I know?
What was going on?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I knew, but it was just like, I didn't really know, so I would love to see it. I don't even know if they even show it now, like, you know, if it's out there now, if it's a thing, but I probably seen it when I was, like, a teenager, and I thought it was so funny and so cool, so I definitely think you guys should check that out if it ever comes to your city.
Yeah, I feel like I saw it somewhere, like, a advertisement for it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't made, like, a big show or a big Netflix special or any type of things around it.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, that's interesting, but anyway, that's all I have, Nikita. So
you know, we talking about your work, where can people, like, reach you, like, how can they tap in with you, how can women
no, we have to talk about, you have a webinar coming up, right?
Yes, I do. Yes. I have a webinar coming up May 24th.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it will be at 8 p.m Eastern. And it will be, we will talk about hormonal imbalances, basically, whether you want to be able to lose weight, clear up your skin, have happy periods, or be able to boost fertility. Like, and when I talk about fertility, how we talked about earlier, even if you're not wanting to have a baby, your body should be optimal. Like, all the fertility heads back to that, you know? So even if you have fibroids and you don't want to have a baby, you know, that's still a fertility issue, you know? So I just put on my webinar, like, boost fertility if desired, you know, but really I talk about the key areas that need to be addressed if you want to resolve your hormonal imbalances. So I'll go over all of that. There's free gift for anyone that attends. There's a Heal Your Body ebook that I've created. So anyone that attends gets that. I also offer a discounted rate to work with me for those that attend and decide to register for the webinar and sign up to work with me. So I have that webinar coming up next week.
That's exciting. Okay. And how can people like sign up for the webinar and get in touch with you?
Yes. Sign up for the webinar, DrAliciaHormones.com. So that's the registration page for that. And then you can get in touch with me on Instagram. It's just DrAliciaNewsome.com. I mean, well, that's my website, DrAliciaNewsome.com, but everything's Dr. Alicia Newsome, basically.
Okay.
So Instagram is Dr.AliciaNewsome. And then the webinar is DrAliciaHormones.com.
That's cool, y'all. Tap in. This was great. I learned so much, and I think you scared Monica, but she's going to be okay.
Oh, Lord. A little bit.
It's okay.
Don't be scared.
Be ready for the magic school bus.
Right.
So we like to wrap it up with a couple of things here. One of those things is we talk about what we need, and what we need, we frame it in reference to our title. So what we need, chicken. So anything that represents nourishment for your mind, body, your soul, sex, representing pleasure. Pleasure. That's it. And degrees, a sense of achievement, motivation, all of those good things. So if I ask you, Dr. Alicia, what do you need? Chicken, sex, or degrees?
Oh, I need it all.
Everybody be wanting to have it all.
That's right. I know. Everybody always be like, we want everything. I know that's right. You want to know. All of the above.
All of the above. Fair. That's fair.
That's a good safe answer. Safe answer.
Yeah. Nourishment, pleasure, achievement, all that.
Mm-hmm. We'll take it. Monica, you gonna be greedy too?
No, I don't. What do I need? I feel like I need degrees. I need to actually accomplish washing clothes today. So
that's a hard task.
I'm gonna do laundry, so that's what I need.
I need some chicken. I'm so hungry. I cannot like just like flat. I need chicken. So that's me. And lastly, we have our last bite. So that's the final thought for today's show. And we always give our guests the last bite. It can be related to what we just talked about. It can be totally random, like whatever you want it to be. And Monica, if you want to kick us off into the last bite, or you going to be shy?
See, I'll be singing when guests be coming on. Why you trying to set me up?
All right. So, Dr. Alicia, what's your last bite for today?
Just about anything?
Yeah, it could be about anything, like that your favorite color is blue, whatever. I don't know.
You put me on the spot here.
You can just talk about whatever you want to talk about. Sometimes I'll be going on rants. A lot of the times I'll be talking about nothing. It's just whatever is on your mind, on your heart.
I just want to thank you guys for having me here. I think that this is a great space. And I think that women need one another, and there needs to be more of this in the world where women are encouraging one another, speaking life into one another, just bouncing ideas off one another, but just more spaces like women. A lot of times there's a lot where people compare themselves to other people. That's negative energy that's just put out into the world. And I just encourage anyone that's listening to just know your worth, know your power, know that God put you here for amazing things that only you can accomplish, and that, we need each other, and that's okay.
That's a good last bite. You came up with something.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's good. That's good. That's all factual. So.
Yeah. No, well, we really thank you for coming on and having this conversation with us.
Oh, but you are more than welcome.
Thank you. And we'll be sure to everybody go check out the webinar, especially if you guys are experiencing any type of heavy periods or issues, check her out.
Yeah. And we'll link out to all of her information when we post. So please watch out for that. And as always, guys, thank you for listening and keeping up with us. If you want to continue to keep up with us on social media, follow us on Twitter at Chicken Sex Degrees, no I, no E in chicken, and on Instagram at Chicken Sex Degrees. Write us, tag us in something, DM us. We do talk back. And then you can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple, and buy some merch at www.chickensexdegrees.com. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm out of here. I'm Makita.
I'm Monica.
Bye.
Bye.